Okay, good evening. Good to see y'all here tonight. Good to see y'all here. We're here, and I don't know actually if we'll take the entire hour tonight. I want to use tonight as an introductory class. We were a little bit flexible with this week because of the picnic. At first we thought we weren't going to have a class, and then we thought, well, okay, we'll have a class. We didn't know if we were going to require an extra class to wrap up the systematic theology, and it turned out that last week we were able to get through everything. So we wrapped up systematic theology last week in soteriology, and we're ready to move on now to Doctrine 300. And our ministry workshop goes in modules, and so our class will increase and decrease. Membership, attendance kind of changes depending on the subject matter. But when we were doing evangelism, man, we were packed out. Or when we were doing church history, for example, we were packed out. There's other things that drop off. You know, Doctrine 300 might drop off, or Doctrine 400. Might drop off, and there's a siren going on. All right. Anybody need help? All right, not for us. Well, let's open to prayer, and we'll pray for whoever out there needs help, and we'll pray for our class tonight. How about that? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, thankful for your grace, thankful for your truth. And Father, we don't know why the siren's out there wailing away or where they're going, but someone needs help, so we lift that up. We ask for your grace to be magnified, and Father, for your plan to be achieved there. And Father, I do pray for tonight and the purpose for this class as we introduce Doctrine 300, as we kind of fix our bearings a little bit for what the structure is in this class and where the students are that are preparing to be pastors and evangelists and every spiritual gift, Father. So use tonight for the glory of your Son. We thank you in his most precious and holy name. Amen. All right. The website you're going to want to browse to is called Grace Notes. And it can be found at www.gracenotes, all one word, G-R-A-C-E-N-O-T-E-S, .info, I-N-F-O, not .com. There is a gracenotes.com. There's no shortage of Grace Notes sites on the Internet. But the one that you want, the applicable one that you want for this study, is gracenotes.info. And if you forget that, it's also in the back of every bulletin. I stole a bulletin tonight so I could use this to illustrate. I will return it, though. Carmen's kind of watching me. on the back page here where you have this information, you got austinbiblechurch.com, and then right underneath that you've got gracenotes.info, and that's the website you want. It's Warren Dowd's site. It's a part of the outreach ministry of Austin Bible Church. It's the missionary extension of Austin Bible Church as far as our internet ministry is concerned. And so that's where a lot of these studies can be found. We're using the four levels of doctrine, and each level has 10 units, and each unit will have sometimes 4, 5, or 6 different doctrines to go into. And we're going to survey level 300 today, so you got kind of an anticipation of what's going to come up over the next 10 weeks. I also want to get a calendar out and start to chart those so we know what the reading assignments are, what the completion dates are. When you complete the course, as far as submitting your quizzes to Mr. Dowd, then you will get your certificate. And then, of course, if you are enrolled in the training ministry, then you get your credit for the coursework that's required. The doctrine courses are required for the pastor-teacher track, so this is not optional for the pastor-teachers. But really, it's useful for all believers. There's not a doctrine in here that's going to hurt any believer, whatever your gift is. It's all edifying. It's all truth that you need to know. And I hope we've stressed that repeatedly in the course of these classes. We're not, trying to create some ivory tower of learning here where we have, special gnosis that's only available to the enlightened. You know, there's not a realm of doctrine that's available for preachers that, the hoi polloi common believer is not entitled to. That's evil. That's absolutely evil. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable. That means it's ours for every believer. All right. Gracenotes.info will bring up the splash page, kind of the cover page like this, and you see the 7 units. It used to only be 4, but it's been expanded here lately, and it's almost complete. There's still just a couple of last-minute additions to flesh out the rest of Unit 7. And those are projects that Mr. Dowd's still working on. But we've done Doctrine 100, Doctrine 200 already in class. And as I said, we're starting 300. We'll go to 400 after we do. We're going to do a module on doctrine, and then we're going to go back to systematic theology, just to kind of give you a long-range view. And we're going to skip ahead. We've been in soteriology. We're going to skip ahead to ecclesiology. Next time we come back to Schaefer, we're going to be in ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, taking it a little bit out of order just based on the needs that we have at the moment. It's kind of the final course that KC requires for his preparation as an evangelist. I'm not ready to graduate him yet. He's not ready to be graduated yet without a comprehensive ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. So that will be our next module after we finish Doctrine 300. All right. So again, gracenotes.info, you see the different units there, and you can do these anytime, but Doctrine 100, Doctrine 200, then Doctrine 300, and there is a Doctrine 400 at level 4, but for Doctrine 300, just bring this up here. Some of these, I notice, have showed up on Facebook lately. I don't know if you've been paying attention. Mr. Dowd has a Facebook page now, and he uses it for a lot of Grace Notes information, including bitterness was one that was just last week. Bitterness had been posted on there not too long ago. Anyway, it's broken down into 10 lessons. And what we're going to do is we're going to do one per week. So count on next week being lesson one. Okay, and we just have to be aware of the Sundays that come up where we don't have a workshop, okay? And typically that's the last Sunday of the month, so if we get a calendar out, we can kind of chart where we are for calendar. Got a calendar. And just chart out the next 10 weeks, but exclude... Well, my phone's got all kinds of problems. All right, calendar. Now, I put too many apps on here is what I have. You want to know the 49ers-Texans score? Cowboys, Falcons. All right. Don't care about any of that. All right. This is October the 25th. No reading assignment due for today. But next week, on the 1st, so we'll have a class on the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd. We will not have a class on the 29th. That is an end-of-month social. At the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have an evening social. We will not have a PMW. So lessons 1, 2, 3, and 4 in November. And then in December, the 6th, the 13th, the 20th, and the 27th, four more. There will be a 27th, by the way, because we have a dinner on the 31st. And then January 3rd, January 10th. So we should be able to wrap this up on January 10th. That'll be our final time in class for Doctrine 300. Any questions on that? Do one lesson per week? Handle it when we get there. All right. Some of you are like me. January 10th, are you kidding me? That's a billion years away. Tell me about Monday. All right. Monday's about as far forward as I want to start thinking. All right. Lesson number one, bitterness, freedom in the Christian life, friendships, the heavenlies, and refreshment. Five topics are going to be covered in lesson number one. Some of these are... remember grace in Doctrine 200, I think it was the only subject for that entire lesson. The entire lesson was given over to grace, and you could have given over 3 or 4, 100 lessons to grace. But grace was one lesson in that whole section all by itself. Here in lesson one, we got five topics. Bitterness. You got any verses in your mind that just popped to your mind regarding bitterness? Anything there jumping out at you? You ever known any bitter people? You ever had times in your life that you had bitterness? Setting aside all bitterness and malice. That's a good verse. Absolutely. Okay. Freedom in the Christian life. Freedom. Freedom. Does that mean you can just live however you want to live, do whatever you want to do? No. Now, your freedom is not a license to sin. But freedom is our wonderful, what Pastor Ralph calls grace obedience. Where you're obeying in the freedom of grace because you want to, not because you're under law or you have to, but because you want to in the royal family. It's a wonderful doctrine there. Friendships. No, those are important. Who needs friends? Friendship of the world is what? Hostility against God, enmity against God. That's right. Yeah, so there's harmful friendships, aren't there? And also, I think it's a wonderful facet in terms of just the phileo love, the rapport love, the friendship love that that brothers and sisters in Christ can have for each other in different facets. That really is what the Bible's provision is for different things that the world just messes up because they're so busy promoting romance and lust and sex and different things like that. But friendship, true friendship, and it's a wonderful provision that we can have. Of course, friendship with God to start with, and then friendship with one another. So that's a good unit. The heavenlies, how many are there? Three. Okay. Why do we know there's three? There's other traditions that talk about seven. Seven heavens, right? Or 13 heavens. That's kind of unlucky. Actually, the scripture says three. Paul was caught up to the third heaven, we're told, in the very presence of God in the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And because of that, the surpassing revelations given to him, he was given the thorn in the flesh, not allowed to speak. So other legends and traditions of seven heavens and all the rest of that are not biblical. They're demonic, and they're not to be accepted. But there are three heavens. Typically, we think about the atmospheric heavens, right? The sky, the atmosphere, and then the universal heavens. The heavenlies, the galaxies and solar systems and universe. And then the third heaven is outside of space and time, is actually extra dimensional. No matter how far you go across the universe, you're not going to get to God's heaven because you can't travel there by distance. Okay, it's outside of space and time. So we think of the three heavens that way. So good. And then refreshment, which is interesting because we just had our own study on refreshment, if you remember, back in not too long ago in 1 Corinthians. All right, lesson two, the pastor teachers, grace provision, salvation in the Old Testament. That's going to take some work. And one of the advantages we have of doing this in a classroom format, of course, any believer at any time can do these at home. Just go to the website, download them, send off the emails, and enroll. And when you submit lesson one, then he'll email you lesson two, and then so forth. And you submit each one, you get the next one when he gets the previous one. But the advantage to doing them in class is that you get your questions answered. You get the interaction. You have a chance to maybe explore certain things. You get a chance to interact with the text involved, and maybe there's a proof text in there that doesn't seem exactly quite on target. And you might want to explore that a little deeper. You might want to say, well, is there another passage maybe that fits better? Or how does this other passage come in? And this allows us to be able to flesh these things out. And, by the way, Grace Notes likes getting this kind of feedback where they can update their scripture references and add better references and produce a better product for the next time that it goes out, kind of a thing. So, but pastor teachers, that's the spiritual gift, of course, the shepherd of the flock. Grace provision. Some wonderful encouragement there. I'm thankful we're getting this lesson right now, to be honest, because we are on the verge of getting our building permit and putting this thing up. And if we lose our perspective on grace provision, we're in trouble. We're absolutely in trouble. And so that would be a good reminder for us at that time. Salvation in the Old Testament. How did the Old Testament saints get saved? By faith. Yeah, by grace through faith. Same way we do. Yeah. Although we placed our faith in the Savior who came, past tense from our perspective, they placed their faith in the Savior who would come, looking forward, future coming Savior, right? Could a Jewish person today still be saved looking forward to a coming Messiah? Chew on it. We'll get to it in 2 weeks, all right? Second coming does not count. No. All right. Lesson three, Jesus Christ, the rock. Boy, that's going to answer some of the questions Dan was talking about when we were talking about the striking the rock there. Jealousy. There's both good and bad. Remember, that's one of the titles for God. God is a jealous God. And we need to understand what the godly jealousy is all about so we can develop it ourselves. We should have the same godly jealousy. Paul told Corinth he was jealous of Corinth with a godly jealousy. I'm jealous for Austin Bible Church. We want to understand what godly jealousy is, like godly boasting. Apostleship. None of you here are apostles, and you understand that. See, a lot of this is going to really relate well to stuff we've already done. You're going to find a lot of this reading is just going to go just like that because you've been a part of doctrinal studies. You've been a part of basics. You've been a part of a lot of classes around here where these things come up. Christian ambassadorship. You know any Bible verses deal with ambassadorship? 2 Corinthians 5:20. There you go. That is the preeminent passage on Christian ambassadorship. That's right. So who's an ambassador? Pastors? Everybody. Every last one of us. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are no longer a part of this world. You're now a king. You're now in His kingdom. Citizenship is in heaven. And you are a royal ambassador. As we represent that kingdom, we live here as aliens and strangers. All right? Your ambassadorship function. I talk a lot about your functions. soldier function, ambassador function, priestly function. You have three functions as church-age saints, as a part of the royal family of God. And you wear all three hats simultaneously. The Christian at work. Well, my workplace is kind of pagan. I don't want my coworkers to know I'm a Christian. Really? Consider, in fact, I've been praying hard about that too, the way our economy is going and different things. We got folks looking for work. But consider the blessing by association. Consider how your company is blessed because you're there. Not because they make a great product or they've got leverage in the marketplace or because they're smarter than their competitors or anything that the CEO learns when he gets his MBA. Because I don't think there's an MBA program in the country that stipulates the blessings by association for having doctrinally mature believers in your employment base. And yet, is that not the truth? Are we not salt and light? Do we not bless? And should we not pray? When Israel was sent off to captivity, when Jerusalem was sacked and the Jews were sent off to Babylon, what did God tell them? To pray for Babylon. Pray for that pagan, godless, evil, wicked place, Babylon. For in its welfare will you have welfare. See, that is, as God prospers your city, county, state, as God prospers your neighborhood, as God prospers your workplace. Say, well, my company is pretty wicked. All right. I'm not shocked with that. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. But God may allow that wicked company to have some temporal life prosperity because they are a source of provision for his children. See, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that, Michael Dell can be a billionaire. Means I can have a pretty cheap Dell laptop, right? You know, it's kind of a thing. Let these guys make all kinds of money. Anyway, we'll talk about more of that. Circumcision. There's lessons in that, not only in the earthly, but in the spiritual. What happens as we walk in the light. So there's doctrine associated with that. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, but it's worth a survey. It's worth anticipating what's coming up. Authority. You ever anticipate that? Why is that even in here? Why do we study authority? Think it's important? Yeah? You know, it's an interesting thing. In our culture, that right there is absolutely attacked. The authority of the Scripture, the authority of the pastor, the authority of the local church, any kind of chain of command, any kind of... It is an amazing testimony to the rebellion of man that... Folks that accumulate to themselves teachers according to their own desires. A lot of what I read in the literature of the home church movements are anti-authority. Just have a cell group, kind of home church kind of a thing. No pastor, of course, because that's authoritarian. And you have this kind of community approach, and every man in the group is expected to, in some cases, every man and woman is expected to contribute and teach. In other cases, they at least acknowledge that, okay, the teachers should be men. They got different approaches on that. But one thing they absolutely unite on, no authority. No pastor. Nobody has the right to say, thus saith the Lord. Or no one has the right to say, this is what Scripture means. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. We have our views. And none of us are exactly right. We have little bits of it. And we can work together and blah, blah, blah. And it's an attack against authority. So authority is an important issue. You want to be oriented to authority. Death in the Bible. Seven types of death. Can you name all seven? Then you're going to enjoy that unit. It's going to be good for you. Seven kinds of death. And it's important because there is confusion amongst folks who cannot get their minds wrapped around carnality. When you're carnal, you're dead. You're out of fellowship. You're walking in darkness. You're operationally dead. With what we call operational death. And what happens when people get that confused is they don't have a concept of carnality, is all they can then conclude is that, well, you've fallen into sin, you're dead, so therefore you must have either lost your salvation or you were never saved in the first place. And they have to either run to Arminianism or run to Calvinism or find some way to embrace this thing because they cannot wrap their minds around operational death. What happens when you're carnal, when you're in reversion, when you're walking in the darkness instead of walking in the light? You're the dog that's gone back to his vomit, see. So operational death is going to be a huge one that we're going to want to evaluate on that. Enemies. Do you have any enemies? You ought to. I don't want any enemies. I just want friends. You got tons of enemies. Because you name the name of Jesus Christ. So all of his enemies are your enemies. You may not like it, but that doesn't change the reality of it. Let's see here. Witness to evil. Leaven. Loyal love. The doctrine of mystery. When I say mystery, what am I talking about? Church. Okay, so what is mystery? Previously unrevealed. Okay, deliberately, by design, withheld from human revelation. Withheld. Not that God was embarrassed by it or trying to keep it secret or trying to... It was a part of his wisdom to unveil the plan in proper sequence at the proper time. And in fact, the mystery of the church is a glorious thing that he's kept hidden away until it was proper for it to be revealed. Where's the great mystery doctrine unveiled in Scripture? You find it in Genesis? Pauline epistles primarily, that's right. Ephesians, Colossians, great passage for the unveiling of the mystery. Okay, so mysterion is previously unrevealed. And here's the key. You don't even know it's there until it's unfolded. Okay, so mystery is not like an Agatha Christie whodunit. Okay, mystery is not like a puzzle. It's not a code. Not in one of these goofy Bible code books, right? If you're reading a book and the guy's trying to tell you about this mystery thing and he's unlocked it and blah, 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 and all, don't even waste your money on it. Okay? Because at the point that it's unveiled is when the mysterion is revealed, and it's a revelation of mystery that even before it's revealed, we didn't even know it was there. All right? So it's kind of like Apocalypse and Revelation, right? People want to say Revelation is all this secret code and all this hidden stuff, and you need to unlock it. No, it's being unlocked. It's being revealed. It's not mystery code. It's revelation. It's unfolding of who Jesus Christ is and what he's about to do. That's going to be a good unit for us. I think we're going to like that one a lot in Lesson 4. And that's going to come up at the end of November. And then Lesson 5 gets us into December. Evil, leaven, loyal love, mystery, doctrine of mystery. Okay, Lesson 6. Preaching. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that what we're talking about today? And preach the word. Timothy chapter 4. Keruso. The imperative keruxon, to preach the word. What does it mean to preach? Predestination. Haven't you had enough of that in systematic theology? No. There's always more. I mean, seriously, in any of these, are you so saturated and so confident that you can just say, you know, Pastor, excuse me on this class. I have it all down cold. I don't need to be here for this. Right? No. No. But predestination, and that's one we're going to want to read with some discernment, because if I recall, the predestination article on Grace Notes is fairly Calvinistic. All right? It's not full-scale, you know, five-point hyper-Calvinistic, but it is Calvinistic. And here's the thing, too. We don't deny predestination. Does anybody deny it? It exists. It's true. It's just in accordance with foreknowledge. We want to understand its relationship with the foreknowledge of God and how it unfolds in the plan of God. See? I hear music. Oh, okay. All right. Just a moment. I'm having a vision here. Is that Don't Cry Out Loud? Is that the song that's singing? Oh, there she goes again. Okay. All right. Haven't heard that in years. All right. We're almost done here. We're not going to be a full hour on this tonight. Prophets and prophesying. You're dispensationalist, right? Do we have prophets today? Some would say so. Can you demonstrate that they are wrong or that they're right? Is there any biblical basis for what they say they're doing? It's going to be important that we have an understanding of that. Because we want to understand what the Scripture says about the prophets. And what was unique about the church age were, in the Old Testament, man, prophet was it. No one said anything to the prophet. You know, the king couldn't say anything to the prophet. The prophet's like, Gad and Nathan, these guys, they were sent so they could give the king what for, right? They were the speakers of God. But then in the New Testament, now we've got apostles and prophets. Now all of a sudden, there are prophets, but the New Testament of prophets, the church age prophets, different from Israel's prophets, the church age prophets are now assistants, sidekicks. They serve the apostles. So you have apostles and prophets. It's an entirely different structure. That's going to be important, prophets and prophesying, because we function in the church age, which is the closed canon period of Revelation. I can stand up on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, and I can preach what the Scripture contains. I can preach based on illumination, in the sense that the Scripture, God might illuminate passages of Scripture and make clear what they mean and how to explain them and how to preach them and how to apply them and so forth. So illumination is very valid for today, but revelation is not. And we're going to want to have a handle on that, because I can't stand up on a Sunday and give new truth that's not contained in those 66 books. See, I can't stand up and say, late breaking news, now hear this, brand new revelation, never been revealed before, here it is. All right? Because that's where all the cults start. Every cult, every false religion, all these, late breaking news, okay? Here's the Book of Mormon for you. Or here's Mary Baker Eddy and her Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, or Watchtower Tract Society and Jehovah's Witnesses, or all these other things. And they're all dependent upon new revelation. And how do you validate that? Well, you can't. Nothing objective there. It's just, he said so, right? David Koresh said so. With his new revelations, right? And isn't it amazing how every time these revelations come up, they always serve the selfish lust of the person that had these dreams, right? Because God said, you have to give me your wife. Yeah. Right? What is it with these cult leaders? All right? So, prophets and prophesying. And we're going to want to be able to have a biblical view for why. How did the in part situation work before there was a canon? And how did the in part give way to the perfect when the New Testament was complete? And understand, as we taught it in 1 Corinthians chapters 13 and 14, and recognize where that transition comes. That's going to be important for you. And maybe you've got friends or family members that are caught up in charismatic churches or circles or different things. Okay, I sometimes have fun in my own mind, but I would never tease them in their presence. All right, and I've shared some stories before, because there's this place over on Burnett Road that has prophecy services every Friday night. Okay, I don't know how they know that, but they're going to have prophecy services next Friday night, and every Friday night they have these prophetic utterances and things. And they invited me to this banquet. I've told you this story before, right? They invited me to a banquet some time back. And I got the card. I didn't really RSVP or anything. And then I kind of thought, well, if I ignored the card, then they won't bug me. But then they called me to say, hey, we sent you a postcard. Okay. And this banquet's coming up, kind of a thing. And they wanted to know, are you going to be there? That's my mind, right? Well, you're the prophet. Am I going to be there? I don't know. Tell me. Okay. And then I actually went and got there, and then they had a little registration table kind of thing and name tags prepared and all that. And I walked in. They were trying to get their name tags all sorted out, and they wanted to know, well, you know, who are you? What's your name? You tell me. So anyway, you can have good fun to yourself, okay? But also understand, they're saved, most of them, all right? They love the Lord. They're confused. Their pneumatology is nightmarish, because it's a mix and mash of, there's no hermeneutic to it, none. And they've got this concept of the Spirit that really they're not even Trinitarians, because they so magnify the Holy Spirit, he's everything in their experience. It's like they don't even have a father or son anymore, because everything is Holy Spirit magnified in different things. So that will be a good unit for us. Psalms. Good introduction to the Psalms there. In fact, that's a very enjoyable lesson. Responsibility of those who wait for the kingdom. Yeah, what are we doing? We're just hanging out? Waiting for the kingdom to get here? Then hurry up, God. I'm ready. Well, no, there's responsibility in the meantime. In fact, in 2 Peter, we're told, looking for and hastening the coming day. How do we hasten the coming day? Yeah, that's right. Get folks saved. The sooner we fill up the body, the sooner we're out of here, right? So, you know, if I led 5,000 people to Christ next week, would we be closer to the rapture? Yeah, we'd have to be. Say, I mean, current hurt, right? Lead them to Christ. Fill up that body. Servants of God. That'll be worth studying. And then, of course, not only do you have the grace notes available there, but you have recent classes that Loroso taught us. You went through a module there on doulos, the bondservant. Shepherds of the flock of God. I thought we already covered that in the pastor-teacher gift. Well, you get it twice this time. Tabernacle furniture, union, volitional responsibility. That's going to be so important. And I hope to maybe incorporate some things in addition to what's the actual content of the lessons. I want to be able to incorporate some elements of what I've been studying lately in different approaches to sovereignty and free will. How does sovereignty function without being restrained by free will, or how does free will function without being absolutely determined by sovereignty and things of that nature? But understanding volitional responsibility based upon the circumstances God puts you in. To me, that's the absolute key on that. You're not accountable for conditions you're not in. You're not accountable. All right? I'm accountable as a husband. Kevin's not accountable as a husband. Well, why not? Because that's not his condition, not his circumstance. All right? So we have to understand that the circumstances and conditions that he places us under is his sovereignty at work. And he has absolute dictatorial sovereign control over every circumstance and condition we're in. We are accountable for the choices we make under those circumstances and conditions. All right? We're accountable for we reap what we sow. God will not be mocked. And that's going to be a facet of what we're going to look at there in that unit. Witnessing, marriage, Christian worker qualifications. That's kind of a fun one. Are you qualified to be a Christian worker? Yeah. First of all, you're saved. That's step number one. But then you're walking in the light. You're growing in the Word of God. You're qualified. See. We're going to outline some different things. The text, actually, the curriculum here goes into some other elements. You do want to be growing. You do want to be under the Word of God. I think the training ministry right here is what's equipping you. There's a lot of things that go into that. We were asked, Sid was asking yesterday about, can we put a course together for Sunday school teachers so that they feel like, okay, they've had some training, they're not just thrown to the wolves, you know, kind of thing. But I'm kind of fond of the thrown to the wolves kind of thing. That's how I got thrown to the wolves, right? So, but maybe there's a better model than just chunking somebody over a boat and teaching them how to swim, okay? Some actual training for Sunday school teaching would be useful. Likewise, training class for deacons. How about that? Or do you just throw a guy to the wolves there and say, yeah, figure out how to be a deacon? Anyway, Christian worker qualifications. Abomination of desolation. There's a fun one. What book of the Bible teaches you about the abomination of desolation? Daniel? Where else? Matthew. Absolutely, Matthew. Revelation in part, but mainly it's Daniel and Matthew. And that's critical because all the false approaches to the abomination don't square with Matthew. And I love the way that God very brilliantly gave the prophecy in Daniel and then allowed Jesus to address that same prophecy in Matthew. Because the false approaches to the abomination tell you that it's all over and done with because it was all done with Antiochus Epiphanes in the 3rd century B.C., and there's no future abomination. That was all Antiochus Epiphanes. It was all Maccabean. And that's the modern insanity. It's just wrong. It's flat out wrong. And I can prove it's flat out wrong because in 33 A.D., Jesus was talking about it still being future. So either Jesus is a blithering idiot wrong about his approach of the abomination of desolation, or somebody else is the blithering idiot. Okay? Absolutely wrong about their approach to the abomination of desolation. It is still yet future. Armageddon, Apollos, Aquila, and Priscilla, Balaam. Boy, that's a long unit. Lesson 9. Generally speaking, though, the pages aren't any longer. If there's multiple items, and they're going to be shorter items. And there's a quiz. Who here has never done a Grace Notes? Never done a Grace Notes? Okay. There is a quiz for each unit. Okay, for each lesson. And before you get lesson 2, you got to submit your quiz for lesson 1, and then you get emailed lesson 2, all right? So each one's going to have a quiz. But in something like lesson 9, where you got, you know, 8 different topics there, the quiz will be shorter. You know, there's only going to be 2 questions per topic probably. Anyway, so you'll know what to anticipate with that. And then finally, end times events, false prophet, mark of the beast. We're going to get to learn what 666 is all about. Gideon, the golden calf, and the preeminence of Israel. I cannot stress enough. I mean, that last item right there is worth the whole class. The preeminence of Israel. Understanding God has a role for Israel. He's not done with Israel. He hasn't replaced Israel. Israel has a future. They are His eternal, earthly, covenant nation. We need to understand that. Because there's so much replacement theology out there today, and even churches that claim they don't teach replacement theology, by their practices, they believe it. By their practices, they live it. Every effort to try to bring in the kingdom is replacement theology, really. Every effort to transform this world, it's not what we're here for. We're not here to transform this world. God will do that when Christ gets back. This world's going to be a new place, all right? But we're not going to make it that way in our own human effort, in our own Christian ministry. As we were talking about yesterday, we had dark days coming up, real dark days coming up. I hope we're ready for it. But our light's going to shine brighter the darker it gets, which is a good thing. We're going to be, you know, it may be that by the time of our children's generation or grandchildren, this will be so post-Christian. The idea that the world will view a practicing biblical Christian almost like we view, is there anybody left that worships Thor? Right? Yeah, probably. You know, think about these mythological religions, and they're just kind of dead, gone. No one really pays attention to them anymore, right? We may be so post-Christian in the next generation, it's going to be anyone that pursues biblical Christianity is going to be just kind of an antiquated, yeah, really, anachronism, really kind of a nut job or some kind of a goof. It'd be like somebody today worshiping Thor or worshiping Zeus, something like that. All right, so that's where we're going. Any questions on that? I need to ask a question. Any questions? Any thoughts, comments, ideas? You know all these? This class is going to be a waste of time for you? Okay. You can, or you can simply download it. There is there's no download on this? Okay. All right, then there's no download. Yeah, email Warren and he'll get that to you. If you don't have email, if you don't have, if you'd rather have a hard copy, just let us know. All right, because we can print them off here, or Mr. Dow can print them off. You know, we got the high power copier back there that can shoot these things out. So if it works out better for you to have hard copy available here, you can take home each week, then let us know and we can make that possible. Otherwise, just email Warren. He'll send it to you. That's actually the most convenient way. If pretty much anyone here not have email? You have email? Yeah? Okay. I know everybody else. I've gotten emails from almost everybody in this room. Isn't that great? All right. So that's the simplest way. Just shoot him an email, get signed up on Doctrine 300, and have Lesson 1 done by next Sunday. Have it done by next Sunday. All right. Wow, early night tonight. Any, don't tell David. David Pickett might dock my pay for cutting loose 20 minutes early. All right. Not going to pay hourly anyway. Who cares, right? Oh, yeah, it's on the recording. By the way, before we started recording, I wasn't joking. You were laughing at this. I enjoy the fact that everything we teach, everything I say, is there. And if there's any question, any dispute, anything, right? A couple weeks ago, there was a big brouhaha over something I supposedly said. Didn't say any such thing. You know? If I said it, show me the MP3. Tell me the lesson, the date, the time. I'll go take a look at it. All right? I never said anything I was supposed to have said. That's fine. So I love being on tape, being on the record. Nothing to hide. It's all for the glory of Christ anyway. So, and we're going to make it easier, too, for Antichrist when he wants to start shutting churches down or if he wants to convict us for hate crimes because we're teaching Romans 1. You bet I'm teaching Romans 1. I'm teaching it. It's on tape. All right? There it is. It's the Bible. All right. Enough of that. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Thank you for your grace. We love you, Father. It's just a blessing. I thank you. Man, there was a long line of folks getting their picture taken and getting added to our directory. And Father, you're just bringing more and more believers. There's hungry souls that want to be fed, Father. And it's just a delight. We thank you for that. We thank you for the privilege to study and teach, to feed the Word of God. It's an encouraging thing, Father. And as we move to the new building, and as we continue to train pastors and evangelists and every spiritual gift, Father, we're just excited to think that you're using such imperfect tools and still bringing about such perfect results. Father, there is a fairly urgent item at the moment, a very real consideration and approaching a conviction. Cliff and Terry have been for months now seeking your will in different things, and we want to join them in that. And Father, just be faithful, guide them and direct them, guide us and direct us. That we might together see what your will is there. We might together be able to glorify Christ. And I thank you in his most precious and holy name. Amen.